In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Reverend Father, dear faithful, the assumption of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul, into heaven is a direct consequence of her life. It's a direct consequence, especially, we may say, of three moments of her life: the Immaculate Conception, the first joyful mystery, the Annunciation, and the fifth sorrowful mystery, the Crucifixion. The first moment of Our Lady's existence, the moment that God created her, was a moment in which He prevented any stain of sin from coming into her soul. This is what we call the Immaculate Conception. She was conceived in the normal way of all human beings, but she did not contract sin in the normal way of all human beings, but rather this sin was blocked by God because He had special purposes in mind. He wanted to come to this earth. He wanted to come down from heaven onto this earth. Heaven was going to come into earth, and heaven needed a sinless place to come into. God wanted to create a sinless place on this earth. And so He made this woman to be a new paradise, a new Garden of Eden, the one place on this earth where God could come. It was to be heaven on earth, because God would dwell there. And if God is going to come down onto earth and make a heaven on earth, He starts by making a sinless place. And this was a person, the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. And so at the first moment of her existence, He made sure that she did not contract any sin, that she was completely and utterly sinless. Of course, Our Lady completely cooperated with this great gift given to her by God, because she remained sinless from that point. She remained sinless until the day on which the angel appeared to her and announced to her that she was to be the Mother of God. Her soul was already this dwelling place, this spiritual dwelling place for God, where we may say that God thrived in her soul with the life of grace. But God wanted to dwell in her body. He wanted to be formed by her body. He wanted her, He asked her to communicate her humanity to Him. And she accepted to become the first temple of God. Of course, you know there's a temple in the Old Testament, and there was a symbol of the presence of God, this Shekinah, this smoke that entered into the temple. But it was just a symbol. It wasn't the physical presence of God. But at the moment of Our Lady's fiat, when she says, "Be it done unto me according to this word," God comes into her. He dwells in her. She becomes this vessel of God, a physical vessel of God. And it's like the planting of the tree of life in the Garden of Paradise. You know, in Eden, where Adam and Eve were created and placed, there was a tree of life. And as long as they ate from this tree of life, they would not taste death. They would not die. And after they committed sin, they could not be there anymore. God said, "You cannot be here anymore after you commit sin and eat from this tree of life." God has this plan to restore the human race, to give it the means to defeat sin, which causes our death, which destroys us. And so He makes a new paradise, a new Garden of Eden. Mary, this sinless virgin. Then He comes into her as the tree of life, as the one who's going to redeem us, and he dwells there. And then, of course, the third moment, the third and very important moment in the life of Our Lady is when then Our Lord is born. He comes to manhood, and he comes to the climax of his life, where this tree of life that was brought forth in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary would bring forth its fruit. And there Our Lady is at this moment, and she offers to the Heavenly Father her Son for the sins of mankind, for the redemption of mankind. And this offering is received by God. And as I say, this tree of life bears fruit at that moment, all of the graces necessary for the salvation of the whole human race are merited at that very moment. Because of Our Lady's participation in these three moments, because of what they imply, it's, we could almost say, necessary that after she dies, that she come back to life, that she be raised from the dead, and that she be taken in glory to heaven, that she be given a glorious body, and she be taken in glory to heaven. Let's go back and see. First of all, she's perfectly sinless from the Immaculate Conception. Why do we die? We die because of sin. But she had no sin. And so it's appropriate that the effects of sin, the death of sin, us being put into a tomb, us corrupting the natural process of our decay, that all of that be exempted for Our Lady, that she who is sinless not suffer those effects of sin. Then secondly, the fact that she was the temple of God, that God not only dwelled in her womb, but she formed him. It was her body that formed him. And we think of this body, this sacred body, the first temple of God, the first dwelling place of God. After this body dies, should this body be eaten by worms? Should it undergo corruption, this sacred body? No. The sense of our faith instinctively, immediately says, no, that can't happen. And then the third moment where Our Lady unites with her Son in this offering which cost her so much, the sacrifice of her only Son for the redemption of mankind. And together they earn all the graces necessary for the redemption of mankind, but in a different way. Our Lady in a lesser way, of course, than Our Lord. And Our Lord dies, he rises from the dead, and he triumphs. He ascends into heaven with his glorified body. And what is going to happen with Our Lady after she dies? She is the one who was the co-redemptrix with him. She cooperated in this great act. Is Our Lord going to leave her on this earth after she dies? Is he going to let her, we may say, suffer the effects of not being redeemed, of not have, is he going to not let her have the immediate effects of redemption, which is the resurrection of the body and life everlasting? No. Because she was so closely united with him in this act of our redemption. She is going to receive, directly after her death, the full fruits of redemption. She's going to be raised from the dead and given a glorified body, taken to heaven, and she reigns there. And the consequence, of course, is that Our Lady now is glorious. God has exalted this humble maiden above all the heavens because of her great triumph over sin, her great triumph over death. And those who see Our Lady, those who have been blessed to see Our Lady in the past 2,000 years since her glorious resurrection and assumption, have been overwhelmed They've been completely overwhelmed on seeing her. Think about Juan Diego, this Aztec Indian in the 1500s who has this great blessing to be chosen by God to be like an ambassador for Our Lady to his people, resulted in the conversion of so many millions of them. What did he say it was like? The description, that one of the earliest descriptions of this apparition says, "And when he reached where she was, he was filled with admiration for the way her perfect grandeur exceeded all imagination. Her clothing was shining like the sun, as if it were sending out waves of light. And the stone, the crag on which she stood, seemed to be giving out rays. Her radiance was like precious stones. It seemed like an exquisite bracelet. It seemed beautiful beyond anything else. The earth seemed to shine with the brilliance of a rainbow in the midst. And the mesquites and the cacti and the other little plants that are generally up there seem like emeralds. Their leaves seem like turquoise, and their trunks, their thorns, their prickles were shining like gold." This Aztec Indian, when he's trying to describe something that it's not describable. And he said, this woman transformed everything into jewels. Everything I saw was transformed into shining jewels. And then with Fatima, with these, again, three little children who have this difficult task of explaining to us what the glorious Mother of God looks like. Sister Lucia described Our Lady as a lady dressed all in white, more brilliant than the sun, shedding a light that was clearer and more intense than that of a crystal goblet filled with crystalline water and struck by the rays of the most brilliant sun. These three children were only 5 feet away from Our Lady. And Sister Lucia said there was a light coming out from her that kind of surrounded them and embraced them. And that her face was so brilliant that they could not look at her steadfastly. She said, "I can't really describe her features because we could never look at her for any length of time. She was too bright and overwhelming." And then, you know, with Saint Bernadette, people went to go to see her looking at Our Lady in this state of ecstasy. In the presence of Our Lady, Saint Bernadette was transformed and made herself radiantly beautiful. She was completely taken out of herself. People were astonished to see her looking at Our Lady because they could not see Our Lady. My dear faithful, this is the consequence, the reward of God to his mother for the life that she lived. And what do we do on this Feast of the Assumption? Two things. We must admire and aspire. We must admire this great woman, this woman clothed with the sun, this great mother who has been given to us. Admire her, love her as much as we can. And then we have to aspire. We have to want to try as best we can to imitate her in those three things that I mentioned that resulted in her glory, because we want the same thing to happen to us. We want the consequence of our life to be the reception of glory in reigning with Our Lady for all eternity. That's what we want. So we must try to imitate her in those three things. Firstly, to try to be sinless, to try to remove from our life sin as much as possible. We can't be completely immaculate, totally sinless like she was, but we can be as sinless as possible. Secondly, to be a worthy dwelling place for our Lord, to receive our Lord in the most blessed sacrament, which is a result of Our Lady's work, to be able to do this, to receive our Lord in the blessed sacrament as worthily as possible, as devoutly as possible, with the same dispositions of soul as Our Lady received our Lord into her womb. Then thirdly, of course, to offer to God the trials of our life, to bear the cross well, to stand with Our Lady at the foot of the cross throughout our life. And as often as we have these trials, to be willing to offer our crosses to God for our salvation, for the salvation of others. Almighty, everlasting God, who took up body and soul the Immaculate Virgin Mary, Mother of your Son, into heavenly glory, grant, we beseech you, that always devoting ourselves to heavenly things, we may be found worthy to share in her glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.